and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's the Monday morning, August 28th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And Barry Kite is here, our chartered financial analyst. We're off to a good start in the market so far. I would say it doesn't look quite as good underneath the surface of the market as it does on the surface. I think it's a few stocks in the indexes that are kind of moving it, but we'll take it. The Dow's up 243. That's 70 basis points. You're at 34,590 on the Dow. The S&P's up 24 points. That's about 60 basis points to the upside. We're at 4,430. S&P 500, and we've got the NASDAQ up 82 right now. I'm not seeing big tech really participating today, at least as of now. The NASDAQ is up 61 basis points right now. The small cap's doing the best of all. They're up 100 basis points, 1%, to 1872. And crude oil, just looking through the stock so far this morning, crude oil looks the best. And, of course, you've got a hurricane approaching Florida. Crude oil usually does good under those kinds of circumstances. Crude is up a dollar right now to 80.83. And the 10-year is down 2 basis points. It's behaving itself at 4.23%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we're off to the races. The gate has sprung open, and we're off and running here on this August 28th, the last week of September or of August, and we begin September. It's kind of the last week of summer, I would say. Usually the traditional end is Labor Day, which is next Monday.
And yeah, two-thirds of the way through the trading year. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and at least we have a pretty good start here to the market so far, despite what our friends at Jackson Hole had to say last week. We finished up the week. Now, his announcement, it came out on Friday, right? Was that the Jackson Hole announcement?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, his speech was a Friday, early Friday morning. Yeah, it feels like it was a week ago. But, yeah, it was because they were talking about it, and basically the talking about it was longer than his speech. His speech is only 15 minutes maybe,
It sounded pretty hawkish, and it did. I mean, look, we still got more to do on inflation, and we're ready to hike rates more. But I think the market kind of took it with a grain of salt. For me, it makes no rational sense, no logical sense to hike rates this year. I could be wrong, but, you know, I think with the slowing economy around the world, I think it would be a mistake to hike rates again. But they'll do what they're going to do.
Yeah, and he referenced, them being in restrictive territory, right?
Yeah.
So, from that standpoint, it's a big turn from the opposite end of the spectrum that they had been for so long. So, the fact that he's, admitting that they're in restrictive territory knows that at some point, right, keep, pressing and pressing and pressing, eventually something does break. So if they're shooting for the soft landing, then, that's why I guess those percentages being an 80% chance of no move at the next meeting, I guess that's why that's where the bets lie at the moment, I guess.
Yes, and if you don't think that the world central banks aren't in sync pretty much and talking with one another, the ECB basically said the same thing on Friday. That kind of got lost in all of the noise coming out of Jackson Hole, but the European central banks, Lagarde, says the ECB aims to keep rates restrictive for as long as needed, which is also pretty hawkish. But by the end of the day, the market, I guess the market said, you know, I think he's bluffing. He's jawboning, because the Dow was up 247 on Friday. You're up about that same amount here today.
And the data will speak for itself. You know, this week we've got there's a ton of, I was looking at the list of different economic data.
We'll get to that.
Like, it's crazy.
Yes, we'll get to that. We've got 4 weeks left in this quarter. Believe it or not, that's it. Another 4 weeks and we end the third quarter of 2023. We've got good, clear earnings estimates in for the coming quarter. For this year, 2023, and we've had pretty good numbers in for 2024 right now. So anyways, that's where the central banks sit right now. I don't think they're going to hike rates anymore between now and the end of the year, but, you know, they could do another quarter point hike. Okay, and again, I mean, the markets seem to shrug off his hawkish tone on Friday. Okay, now... The S&P ended the week with a 1% gain. We've gone through a correction. There's no question about it. The correction began on July the 27th. Just looking at the charts, it lasted for about 4 weeks. And I said that it's probably hit bottom, the correction that is, 2 weeks ago. So far I'm right. And it's been turning around ever since. And I published in the newsletter 2 weeks ago, I said, from my perspective, the correction is coming to an end. And then this week I said, you know, the correction is over. And we're bouncing off of a lot of important technical levels. And we've definitely turned around. Now, what could kill it? You got to watch interest rates. That seems to be the biggest factor right now. On the market, we're at 4.20%. We got as high as what, 4.34 somewhere in there.
In the intraday, we're somewhere around like 4.35ish, 4.36. But yeah, it's come down. You know, it when you look at it, it's hard to believe it's that much above four. But from four, I'll take it from 4.35.
Yes. We're down about 12 points. Okay, now the other thing that you have to say about the market that I noticed that I've made comments on is. The tech stocks, the growth stocks, have resumed leadership in the market. Last week, the leading sector in the market was information technology, up 2.6%, which is basically the tech stocks. And that's been the laggard over the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Finally bottomed 2 weeks ago. Last week, it had a constructive week. Today it's kind of just so-so, but it just seems to me that the tech stocks, the growth stocks, the real growth engines in the market have come back into favor, and you've got all these money managers out there positioning themselves for the final lap of the market here, the final one-fourth of the market. They're trying to improve their numbers. They're trying to get on the best horse possible, and it just seems like they're getting back into tech. Thinking that interest rates, you got to believe that, you know, we're not headed for 5%. You wouldn't think we're headed for 4.5%. You would think that we've probably seen the high for the year in interest rates, barring some kind of unknown factor. And that would also be bullish for growth stocks. And there's also been some pretty good constructive action, although they pulled back a little bit in the energy patch. I guess with this approaching hurricane down in Florida, it looks like it's going to hit the panhandle, Tampa, north of Tampa, and then sweep across into our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
By Wednesday night, late Wednesday,
should be off the coast, kind of going away from us around at least currently at 2 a.m. on Thursday morning. So should be.
We've
got high tide coming too. I think we've got a big tide coming.
I've got to lash down the boat, you know, make sure it doesn't sail away without me. And, you know, looking at Wind Finder, which is pretty accurate, I see top winds here of about 40, somewhere in the 40 area. Now, off of Tampa, you know, I was seeing more like 60 and 70 when it comes ashore. And then, you know,
a water event in that portion of the Gulf there. So
then it hits land, And there's not a lot of population really in that north of Tampa, right? I mean, you're from that kind of area.
Yeah, you got Cedar Key. I mean, there, you know, Cedar it's a beautiful, Key. Beautiful area, not as densely populated.
No,
certainly, Tampa
not at
being
all.
The worst. But the problem with Tampa is that you can almost walk out into the water, you know, a mile
yeah,
or so.
Yeah, it goes right up Tampa Bay.
If you
it
get
looks
some,
like
some water. It only takes a little bit of surge to make a to you know to get somewhere in that area. But we'll see what happens. It's it can, looks like it's going to kind of come together quickly.
Now, when we come back, we'll go, Barry mentioned it, and there's a lot of economic reports this week, and every one of them will be very important, because guess who's watching? Big Brother at the Fed. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. What do we have to worry about? What do we have to chew our fingernails about here this coming week? We got the Jackson Hole out of the way. It'll be another year before they go up there. He did throw a big bucket of cold water from the Snake River right on the market on Friday. And, you know, like a dog, the market shook it off, right? The water went flying everywhere, and it went marching on and ended up for the days. Now, this week we're going to get, I believe we get the jobs report on Friday.
Yeah well, we got, it's a busy week. I threw up, you know, for to be the last week before Labor Day, right? It was, you know, it's certainly not a sleepy one. You get ADP on Wednesday, which, you know, has lately been, you know, creates volatility, even if it's the reports in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. We get GDP, a revision of GDP for Q2. Thursday, we get the initial jobless claims, PCE inflation index.
That's
course.
A big one. That's the one they watch more than anything, right? The Fed.
Yep. And then we get, the you know, U.S. non-farm payrolls on Friday. So that'll be a full week, so probably a light earnings week, I would imagine, if got too many left. So,
yes, and then we also get
we get China PMI too, I think, on Wednesday-ish or so.
Yeah, I've been reading too lately that China would have to do one heck of a stimulus package.
Economy. Yeah, and I was looking at, you know, estimates say at the beginning of the year in terms of, like, you know, global GDP, and they were, you know, they were to make up one third of global growth this year, and they've obviously sputtered along. So you know, that ripple effect around certainly has been seen in Europe.
Yep, we're also going to get some inflation numbers out of Europe here. China's industrial profits dropped 15.5% in the first. So that's a big drop, 15.5%. That's their profits, and that's definitely weighing on the global economy. Now, here's the earnings week, okay? You're just asking. Today we get anything that important. Well, we got CrowdStrike. I can't figure it. They've either reported or are going to report after the close. I haven't looked at it yet. They report this week. Today, I don't really see any. Tomorrow's Best Buy. And, of course, the bricks and mortar stores reports last week were terrible for the most part, except for a few exceptions. NIO reports tomorrow. That's the Chinese version of Tesla. We get Big Lots. Hewlett Packard. Let's see, anything else tomorrow? No, not really. Wednesday is CrowdStrike. Okay, Wednesday is CrowdStrike. They got a downgrade.
CrowdStrike. Yeah, they got downgraded today. That's why you're seeing why they're popping up, at least on the volatility standpoint.
And then Wednesday you get Chewy. Chewy is Outback Steakhouse. No, I'm just kidding. It's a dog biscuit company. Salesforce is there on Wednesday. Viva System, Victoria's Secret on Thursday. Broadcom. That's a pretty big one, actually. Broadcom.
Yeah, that is. That'll be interesting. I guess they just kind of wait it out, right? In terms of when they report.
And Lululemon will also report on Thursday. That's a big one.
That'd be an interesting one too. Yeah.
That's one of the survivors in the bricks and mortar space. And then, you know, it's about over. Okay, what else do we have? Taiwan. Foxconn founder Terry Gao steps into the Taiwan presidency race. Okay, they've got four people now. He's a very accomplished guy, obviously, as the CEO, but he's like 72 years old or whatnot. And, of course, he's all about keeping Taiwan protected from an invasion by China. That's what they've got to worry about. And Gao would try to really get their economy booming over there. All right, crypto. Been a rough month for crypto. Will it get worse? You know, that's my problem, one of my problems with crypto. Really, the only thing I have to go by are technical analysis. You can't put any kind of valuation on it, you know. So you look at the technical analysis. It looks to me like the correction in crypto is over, and it's going to start heading back the other way. But that's all I can go on.
Yeah, that's all I can judge, right?
No. When I need three things, valuation, well, you have performance of crypto. The relative strength on it is pretty good, actually. It's been one of the biggest winners in the market this year, since if you go back to the beginning of the year.
It's certainly going to be driven, but like you said, you only got one side of that equation here, and that's a chart.
Yep, exactly. Okay, now, one of the stocks moving the Dow so heavily to the upside, Dow's up about 250 right now, 3M, because they settled, right? It looks like they finally come to a settlement for their military earplugs. I'll bet they wish they'd have never got into that business. I mean, how much could they have possibly made on earplugs that were supposed to protect the ears of people shooting weapons and whatnot? 3M agrees to pay more than $5.5 billion in a settlement over military earplugs. And, of course, it's always good to get something behind you. Will there be another appeal? Will it go to another circuit judge? Who knows?
Yeah, ask Johnson & Johnson, right? They're trying to get past the baby powder.
That's been going on for a long time, but 3M is up 4.6% today. Okay, another stock in the news today, and the issue with Wegovy, the weight loss drug, is not whether it works or not, it's getting it. It's supply. And the one that makes it, they have a third-party manufacturer called Catalent, CTLT, which is a publicly traded company, but it hasn't been all that great of a stock over the years. But Novo Nordisk says they're confident that the Wegovy issues will be fixed. That's their blockbuster weight loss drug. They hope that they will get the production moving and get the supply increased.
I think they just added a facility. They've been trying to make it as fast, I guess, as people will pay for it. So
they make it apparently in Brussels, where Wegovy pens are filled. It is an injection at this point in time. Now, okay, when we come back. There was some legislation that kind of went through quietly about the Gulf of Mexico and the the action taken there in order for companies to drill, and the oil industry is livid. We'll talk about that when we come back. It just seems like a lot of roadblocks. What is it this time that's going to make it very tough to drill in the Gulf? We'll talk about that when we come back. And then probably the third place AI stock right now is making a big move right now to catch up and become number one. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. If anything, the market has strengthened since the open. The NASDAQ is now up 90 basis points. It was up 60. It's up 121. It'll be interesting to look into the NASDAQ, see what's doing it. The Dow's up 265 right now to 34,612. Now, the Gulf of Mexico, obviously, is being watched for another reason here today with Idalia. Is that it? Idalia? Strengthening.
It's always an I. And I think it's Idalia, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's an I. And the
I've never known anybody known Idalia.
Yeah.
Not even
the I's always tend to, I'd like to see what the record is. I know, like, that the I's apparently pretty much always make landfall. Of course, Ian last year being a disastrous one. Ivan, one that I grew up with on the northern panhandle, and there's been a number of other I's along the way, but they were start running out of I names, and I can't even pronounce them anymore.
Yeah.
Ido was one time, but
Ian was easy.
I mean, yeah.
Deal. Now, okay, so the Gulf also, angry oil industry sues the U.S. over new Gulf auction rules meant to protect what? The whale. Is there a lot of whales there, Barry, in the panhandle?
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I want to see a whale. I've never seen a whale in the Gulf personally.
Well,
and I've been out, seen a lot of other stuff.
You know,
turtles, flying fish,
you know,
all kinds of random things. But I've never a whale. My buddies has a charter boat captain. Lately they've been seeing a lot of whale sharks, actually, which is kind of a
I've seen some whale
I've
sharks in Baja. Now, I remember a year ago here, they were talking about the ocean off of Charleston making it a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit. The entire ocean, like going way out to protect the whale.
Yeah, I heard about that recently.
I've never seen
it. What kind of whale is it? Is it a narwhal? I think it's some kind of,
yeah, and it goes up like down in the Savannah area and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I've never seen one, and most people here have never seen. That would have not gone over well. To go out to the fishing areas at 10 mile per hour, that ain't cool. These guys around here with these 4 outboard engines, they're doing 50 and 60.
Well, yeah, and to get out to the, you know, to get out here, you've got to go a ways, so you'd never get out there.
No, I've never heard of anybody hitting a whale with their boat. But the Biden administration's proposed new restriction on oil and gas companies operating in the Gulf of Mexico have sparked outrage from the oil industry, which sees the move as an unjustified assault on fossil fuel producers that threatens to restrict U.S. energy production. Okay, I'm going to try. Oh, the rice whale, okay, which surprised earnings officials by including new restrictions on development meant to protect the endangered rice whale. The rice whale. So anyways, that's going to court.
I'm not familiar with that whale. I mean, looks cool.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's going to shut down a lot of oil drilling in the Gulf. And the energy industry not happy. Google AI counteroffensive taking shape. As of now, you'd have to say NVIDIA is number, especially after those earnings past week. The earnings shot heard around the world. And by the way, you didn't get the newsletter over the weekend at GundersonCapital.com. I wrote quite a bit about NVIDIA and that earnings report. You know, I've been in the business now for 24 years, and I can't remember seeing an earnings report like the one we saw from NVIDIA last week. So you got to put them at the top of the heap in AI. I'm reading today there's a threat from China. Well, I take that with a grain of salt. And I'd have to say the number two stock in AI right now is Microsoft with their ChatGPT, which is up and running. But look out. I mean, don't count Google out, Alphabet, because it's coming in their shot. They've been working overtime. And, in fact, including the founders of Google wanting to bring make Google the leader in AI.
Well, you know who else is working AI at the same time, right?
Yeah, that little company AI.
Well, I mean, in your AI, I saw something from terms of coders where there are, it's already like I guess sped up productivity potentially by like 40% or so in certain code writing. So it'd be interesting from the software standpoint.
Yeah. Well, you don't want that AI to mess up with code, like landing, right. You know, landing a Boeing, which is the next story. It's going to resume 737 MAX deliveries to China, and it's helping the Dow today. Boeing, which had the bad news last week about a supplier and an issue that they got to fix, it's up 1.2% today, and that's pretty good news because it's been 4 years since they've sold a 737 MAX jet. To China, but China is now going to be a buyer again of those MAX jets, and that's good news for Boeing. Bad news for Ford, GM, Stellantis face possible strike as the UAW overwhelmingly appears to authorize the move. It has 97% approval from the workers to strike. Our union's membership is clearly fed up with living paycheck to paycheck, while the corporate elite and billion, this sounds like it was written by Bernie Sanders, but nah, you know, the corporate elite and billionaire class to continue to make out like bandits. That's UAW President Sean Fain said in a statement, the big three have been breaking the bank while we have been breaking our backs. Well, that sounds like strike talk to me.
No, yeah, I think that sound, to me it sounds like the chance of strike seems pretty high in that instance. Of course, and that's coming off the, you know, UPS getting their deal done, right?
They got a huge deal, the Teamsters union.
Exactly, and so you know, you see that in one contract, right? Well, sometimes those things ripple effect over over time. So.
I saw some kind of a graph about the amount of strikes that there's been under the Biden administration. They've increased dramatically, the amount of strikes by labor unions, et cetera. VinFast.
Right, we had port work. We had one, and I think we still have some issues in terms of kind of fight for one of the, you know, the new port, right, where the new kind of parts up here that they put together, and you know, they haven't gotten as many ships there because there's been some labor issues.
Yeah, and the UPS, I mean, they ended up with a really lavish contract. I want to say the entry is now about $100,000. For a UPS employee.
Yeah. And certainly from an increase, certainly from where it was, right, to where it is now, it was a huge, you know, from a percentage change standpoint, what looks to be, on the outside looking in, a favorable contract, right, from a worker standpoint.
Now, on the other side of the coin, a home loan is 7.3% and a ribeye steak is $22 a pound. So there goes your raise, really eaten up by a lot of inflation there. VinFast, that's the most ridiculous story. You know, these are electric cars made in Vietnam. Look at this stock today. Look at a chart of VinFast. VFS. It's up 25%. This thing, its market cap is soaring. It's only been a public company for 10 days. It's up 250. I mean, this thing is obviously being manipulated, and it's probably got someone's behind it, whether it's the guys that did Bed Bath & Beyond or somewhere else. It now has a market cap.
Right.
$132 billion, which is about as big as Union Pacific and IBM. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The company aims to become the next Tesla. Much of the hype that is supporting the current obscenely high valuation VinFast is a reason to sell the stock. Man, I would not touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. In May, it's getting bad reviews from Motor Trend. It says that their 2023 VinFast VF8 is nowhere near ready for public consumption.
Yeah, it sounds like an old the old Nikola deal. Just I guess a bigger valuation at this point. That'll be interesting.
Here's what Motor Trend said: I'd be embarrassed to look a customer in the eye when handing over the keys to this vehicle. and it's 152 billion. Well, every once in a while, something like this comes along. And it doesn't end well. A lot of people getting clobbered in the process. But for now, they're running this thing like crazy. We'll be right back. I've been doing the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for. You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do. And welcome back here to the second or the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just looking underneath the surface of the market, it's one thing to look at the indexes and the averages, but looking at what makes up those averages and if there's any outsized moves, etc. I would just say that the market is not as strong underneath the surface as it is on the surface. And here's the reason I say that. The Dow is really being heavily influenced by one stock, which is 3M, with their settlement, $5.5 billion on the earplugs. And that's, lifting the Dow. That's a 4% move by one stock in the Dow. Goldman Sachs is up 1.7%. You're seeing the banks up a little bit today. Nothing impressive with that move at all. Raytheon's up a little bit. Nothing impressive with that move. Disney's up a little bit. It's just been getting clobbered recently. It's a terrible-looking stock. It's up 1.3. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying? Look, on the surface, oh, the Dow's up 247, but you look at the 30 stocks within it, there's nothing really that exciting. The one that looks the most interesting would be Boeing, which is up only 1.2, but opening up sales to China again.
Yeah, and interest rates have barely moved this morning, too. So, I mean, I think probably, especially since the market's been so interest rate driven, it's going to depend on some of these. They'll be reading the tea leaves of the data this week, I guess.
Yeah, and they're watching the hurricane. I mean, what kind of impact will that have on fuel prices, etc.? Will it do a lot of damage? We'll have to see. Okay, then we look over at the S&P 500, and there's just not much there to really get excited about. Total lack of performance here by the big tech. You've got Jabil up 8%, Boston Scientific up 5.2%. These are not exactly leaders in the S&P 500. GameStop's up 5%. 3M again up 4%. Generac, naturally Generac goes up during hurricane season, and especially when there's a named hurricane headed our way. Western Digital's up 3.8. Neighbors Industry, I would say that's the best-looking sector out there right now, would be the energy sector, and in particular, the energy service sector. So Halliburton and SLB, Schlumberger, Neighbors, those kinds of stocks, NOV, they look good. And then the big banks, for whatever reason, are doing okay today. Comerica's up 2.9%. Okay, then you look inside the NASDAQ, And, you know, the leader is a Chinese stock, NetEase, which I don't have a lot of faith in the Chinese tech stocks. NetEase is up 4.6. Western Digital is up 3.8. And then it's Baidu. And, of course, in China, they're hoping for some kind of massive stimulus coming from the CCP. JD.com's up 2.9. Micron's up 2.4. So there's just nothing really exciting there at all in the NASDAQ. And there's nothing really down either. NVIDIA is down 1.4%. That's the biggest down stock in the NASDAQ. And AMD's down 1%. And Amazon's down about 1%. So NASDAQ kind of taking the day off, probably because of, you know, all of the reports you've got coming this week, and the hurricane. I'm sure it wants to see what happens there. So there's just not much taking place here in the market today. But everything is up, especially if you own the indexes. And we were up, you know, a little bit here today so far. We'll see if we hang on to those gains. Usually when the market doesn't look as good underneath the surface as it does on the surface, you kind of lose some wind during the course. You lose some of that impetus during the course of the day. Okay, the biggest winner in the industrial sector last week, it was up 10.2%. It was our featured stock of the week 1 week ago. Not this Friday, but the Friday before that. This week, our featured stock of the week, we'll see how it does. It's already done well so far. If you're not getting the weekly newsletter, I also updated the S&P 500 forecast. Believe it or not, there's numbers out there for 2025. Not next year. Well, we got numbers for next year, pretty solid numbers. But there are forecasts out there for 2025. Now, I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in those because a lot can happen between now and then, including
that crystal balls will get a little cloudy the further you go out, huh?
You know, one of the cloudiest areas I see is the presidential election of next year is going to be horrific, and the months leading up to it. And, oh man,
woo! And we're not far away.
After the election, depending on the outcome, I think there's going to be some trouble here in the United States of America. That's a big one. I'll be watching that very closely because, obviously, you know, it could have a big impact on the stock market in 2024. But as of now, you know, I've got my target price out there, and that's what we're going to go by until anything kind of changes, which could be a ways off. Before we get any changes, that macro forecast is critical to what we do. And the interest rate picture is critical because those are the two components of the S&P 500 target price, earnings and a multiple. And then, of course, the featured stock of the week, I look at 1,000 stocks a day. And by Friday, I narrow it down to one that I think is probably the best idea I've seen all week. And, of course, the one 2 weeks ago was the biggest winner, biggest in the industrial. It's more than industrial. It's virtually kind of a tech AI stock in the industrial sector, very undervalued one at that. And then this week, not as much of an unknown name, but I thought I would update things on this stock. So if you're not getting the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. And if you would like to sign up or set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. And we do have dates for Michigan now, which will be October 17th, 18th, and 19th. Okay, that's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us when we come to Michigan, we have barely started sending out the announcements and whatnot. Those appointments will fill up fast. 855-611-BEST. You can meet with Barry and myself. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.